This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I Am Athlete Season 3 is here. We heard you guys. We're ready to roll. Want to say thank you to DraftKings. DraftKings, official partner of the NFL, now an official partner of I Am Athlete. Look, they're doing something special this week. And if you go out and you bet $1 on an NFL game, they're going to give you $200 for free instantly. Download their app, DraftKings Sportsbook. And you can have fun. You can party. Promo code athlete. Promo code athlete. Love y'all. Peace.
We're back. Season 3. I Am Athlete Pod.
No, go ahead.
No. That's not my place. You run the show. Yeah. I'm your sidekick. I ain't Robin.
Hit it, B. If we got to
so
reset,
you the Z.
Hit it again.
Huh? You the Z.
I'm definitely not the Z.
We back.
Oh, I'm so f***ing happy. This is going to be a great f***ing show. Let's go. Woo! God, you know how long I've been waiting on this shit. I got so much just built up in me. Like, I just want to get out. And I ain't been able to get it out because I can't really talk to her any kind of way because of, you know, the mental capacity of carrying a child. But you motherfuckers finna get it.
Huh? Who's that?
Woo! We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite the skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. Look in the past bag. Work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Shakari Richardson.
Shakari.
She say Shakari.
Just say it all three ways.
Shakari.
Yeah, there you go.
Shakari Richardson. I feel like she's in the midst of a PR nightmare almost, like which way to go. We're here in Ocoee. You know, we thought we had an opportunity to sit down with her, but it, you know, just didn't happen. So we were really excited about this conversation, but regardless, lover or hater, I feel like that's the conversation in our country right now around her.
She bring it upon herself?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she brought it on herself. Every athlete brings their own situation to the table. If you want to be the good guy, you want to be the villain, whatever you want to be, it's your job as an athlete to paint the picture of what you want to show to the world. 3 months ago, 4 months ago, fellas, I didn't know who the Shakari was. And now I do, and now the world knows. So now when you get that national, international, worldwide fame,
right,
you have to show off what you want to show them. And personally, me, I think Shakari is doing a terrible job of her, you know, PR, with everybody going on. I don't think she's approaching this right. She's young. She's 21. We all know ourselves at 21. But I think Shakari's doing a bad job of having this fame and then parlaying this into a big-time career, a big-time life goal.
But let me push back a little bit because we celebrate FloJo. Mm-hmm. FloJo is Shakari. We don't talk about FloJo being a lightning rod and all up in the cameras and all up in your face and unapologetic. You don't think about that now. You think about FloJo being the fastest woman ever on the planet.
And that big pretty thigh.
So does it matter? Like, does it matter? Like, you talk about it all the time. We had Kyle Busch on the show, and the first thing you talked about was like, embrace the villain.
I think what you're seeing is Sha'Carri being exactly her. Authentic. That's what we should appreciate.
First, can we get on the same page with, is it Sha'Carri or Sha'Carri?
You know what? Miss Richardson is exactly who she is, and I think we should all embrace it. I like it. I like that she's not PC. I like that she is every bit of Dallas, wherever it is that she resides or come from. She exudes that when she runs, when she talks, the hair, the nails, the stylish aura, like Flo-Jo. She reminds me of that. She is the sixth fastest woman in the world at a very young age. That's right. What I like about her.
You're going to keep the same energy if she never wins again?
If she never wins again?
I'm just asking.
I'll put my house on it.
Ooh.
Obviously, if we pay attention to body language.
I went in on that.
Listen to me. Pay attention to body language in the last race where she lost.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't know the ins and outs of the rules being a part of Nike, but I think she had to run the Prefontaine Classic, whether she wanted to or not.
But dead last?
Wait, let me finish. Let me finish.
No, I'm talking about dead.
Can I finish?
Dead last.
Can I finish?
Dead last.
Are you going to let me finish?
I'm going to let you finish, but she came in dead last.
She did.
That's unacceptable.
I'm looking at body language. What's unacceptable? Are you out there? Are you training
with her? I'm not out there. I'm going to say what I got to say about it.
She's still the sixth fastest woman in the world.
That's true.
I don't think she wanted to run based on body language alone.
Well, how can she run?
Could she have done better? Maybe, but I don't think she was in a position mentally to want to run that race.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point because I didn't know until today that being a Nike athlete, you had to participate in that.
Right.
I can totally understand that, right? When you're being led around like that and we're talking about her. Like, what I wonder is, like, are we going to have to wait for some true Hollywood story to get, you know, like, then do we start talking about the people that are leading her around or her representation? Then do we hold her accountable? Like, is there no such word as accountability to your own character and how it's being portrayed until, you know, 20 years later and we have an A&E story, right, or something like that? But I guess what I'm trying to side with on that with you, Ocho, is the fact that I didn't know that she was forced to perform. That tells me a lot.
That's why I said, but I'm that's not what, sure, but
that's what
I
tells
but
me
that,
a lot.
That doesn't matter. We're still talking about a 3-week window. She was out. She knew when she got suspended, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the weed or whatever, yeah, right? But she still had about 3 or 4 weeks to prepare from that point into that next race. And we can all blame it on mental stresses. She lost her mom. We can make whatever excuse we want to make for her. If you're the sixth fastest woman in history, you don't come in dead last. It's embarrassing.
Fred, she's the sixth fastest woman in history. She was the ninth fastest woman on that track.
But here's the thing.
And those ladies aren't on that list ahead of her. So, and this whole forcing, Nike's not forcing her to run. Did y'all's team force y'all to play?
Did you hear the way I worded it? I think, if I'm not mistaken,
they have
Nike athletes, maybe based on her body language when she ran, might have been forced to run. That's all I'm saying.
Forced to run. It's not forced to run. We know the game is on Sunday.
Contractually, she might have had to run.
And the game's on Sunday for us. We're contractually locked into every Sunday they lined up an opponent against us. We had to play.
And when you play, did you lose some time?
Did you lose some time?
Did you lose some downs? Did you lose some time?
Yes.
Did you not scrape and get off that tackle some time?
But you're saying she was forced to run. No, do your job and run.
That's what she's been doing all her life. That's why she's one of the best in the world.
So hard. And don't get ninth place.
Sometimes you lose.
Hold on.
You never lost before?
I ain't getting ninth.
She shouldn't have. Listen, here's my thing. I like to peel back the layers. My thing is this. You got to think about the Olympics. Olympic athletes, they work for 4 years straight for a couple of weeks out of that year, you know, to perform on the biggest stage. Stage is bigger than we've all occupied. A month before the Olympics, she was disqualified because she tested positive. Okay? She smoked. What do you think is going through her head? Like, how could you're talking about she had 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or whatever it was. Put yourself in that position. How can she, you know how hard it is for her to get up every single day and train after that? You know what I mean? You only have a couple opportunities to be in the Olympics as an Olympian. think of, I experienced this at the end of my career. I played 13 years, you know, in the NFL. Never been cut. My last year, cut three times. The New York Giants, cut by the Seattle Seahawks, cut by the Saints. In that time, to me, that was the first time I was able to put myself in the shoes of, you know, those practice squad guys or those bubble guys. And I'm like, you know how hard it was for me to get up every single day and train while I was waiting on a phone call. I had to push myself, eat right, do all those things. So I think when you look at this whole situation and that race and her coming in last, I understand how she came in last.
I think that's bullshit. Because if you talk about not with you, right? Because that happens in our sport. But she knew the rules. It comes down to discipline and your mental focus. Right. This is the biggest moment in her life. How she f***ed up. And I ain't bashing her. I want to be a big brother to her. If I knew her, I would definitely try my best to reach out to her. But she knew the rules. You're going to go and smoke and take away everything that you prepared yourself for and miss that opportunity. Who knows if it'll ever come back? Because it's every 4 years. She did what she did at the Nike event, and she lost that. Nike's a corporate conglomerate, right? I don't think that they would put her out there if she wasn't ready. So whatever happened in that particular race, I think it comes back
you don't think they would put her out there if she wasn't ready?
Nike?
You never got a shot.
Listen.
When you wasn't ready and you were told to get out there?
The thing about me was different than her. I was always ready. That's a different. I probably didn't play well.
No,
but
sure. How many teammates did you play with that wasn't like you?
This is a different sport. It's an individual sport.
No, that's a really
good
point.
So I get what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So, but you have to put yourself in a mental box and say, now it's time for me to let the world know what I've done. Simply because she talked that type of. I was always humble. I never approached the game like that. But if you're going to put it out there, you better back it up.
She has been backing it up for years. She's been backing it up for years since LSU.
Look, I want her to do LSU. Great. For me, hey, listen, she lost one race.
There's a reason why she's
race.
In global.
I
can I say
it.
Icon yet? Can I say icon?
No, not yet.
Can
not
I?
Yet.
Please?
Not yet.
Please? Because when my daughter sees her that run track, she loves her.
Of course.
Why? She loves her.
Your daughter's the next one.
She loves her.
She's in that space.
She's in that space. I like the fact that she is authentically her and not the PC we're used to seeing from people that are at that level. She lost one race.
Let me go back to what you're saying. It's really no difference in other sports. You know, those guarantees that you make. In the NFL, we hear it all the time. Don't make any guarantee. Don't go out there giving any bulletin board material, right? Oh, we're going to win, or I'm going to dominate this guy, I'm going to go for 100. So those are the things that you learn, you know, as you mature and you grow in this sport. Some guys go out there, you got Jalen Ramsey go out there and he talked that talk. You have Richard Sherman talk that talk, and they back it up. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they get got. And then you have some guys that won't put themselves out there because they know the backlash you're going to get. So it goes back to this whole thing, like, who are you going to be? Like, are you going to embrace the villain and go all the way out there with that confidence and say, you know, I'm going to win this race? But you got to be strong and you got to be so, like, bold to do that year after year after year. Because if you don't, when you go in that locker room and you're looking in the mirror and it's just you and that's it, man, that's a tough moment.
I call it the Ali effect. Ali did it, right? That's what made Ali the greatest boxer of all time. Deion Sanders did it.
That's right.
You feel me? But there's also moments when you got to know when to shut it off and be humble. I got God today. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. You can talk and be that shit before you go and compete. But if it doesn't work out your way, just say, look, I brought it today.
Right.
It didn't work out. You know, and whatever else you say,
What did she say after the fight? But I loved it. What I saw after that race, I saw strength. I know as an athlete, she walked in that locker room and probably cried. If I had to bet on it, I felt like she walked in that locker room crying. But to me, as an athlete, right, and this is, you go to Simone, you go Biles, you go to Naomi Osaka, right? Like, this is this thing. Like, you got to put on this Teflon in front of the world, in front of all these cameras, and you got to be this Greek god. And so what I saw in that moment was her being strong and saying, oh, you think I'm done? No, I'm going to be back. I saw strength. I didn't see weakness in that. I thought that was a moment where she should have said, like, yeah, that's right. I'll be back. It's one race. So I saw strength.
One. But that's the thing you're talking about, like, that one. Villain role. And that's what she wants to become. And I know
she doesn't have to become it. She's built for that. She has something that you can't coach. She has this it factor. That's just her. She's not trying to portray that. That's just what she is.
And the villain has to have a backing of success behind them.
She has a huge backing of success. Where have you been? Do your homework on Miss Richardson first.
How many gold medals? 2019. How many gold medals?
We are not. No,
that's what
we're not going to do. We're not going to. We're not going to.
What's the biggest level of track? The best in the world.
Representing the U.S. Right.
Best of the world.
And getting gold medals.
Zero.
We're not going. We're not going to downplay what she's done to this point because she didn't get a fucking gold medal. That's what we're not finna do.
But why not?
Just don't put your leg on the table. You get mad.
No. But
because this table right here is going to break.
It's gonna flip right.
Okay. I'm not.
He got his crew socks on. Socks heavy. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. How old is your daughter? Huh? And she runs track, right?
Yeah.
Your daughter.
Junior in high school.
So how old is she?
15.
She's 15.
16, excuse me.
And how old is...
I have so many, my bad.
And how old is Shakira?
Huh?
She's 16?
21. Yeah,
16. She's 21. Shakira's 21.
Yeah.
So if your daughter was in that position, right, and did the same thing, right, and talked that after a loss like
which
that.
Which she does now, yes.
What do you have to say? What do you do? Do you reinforce shit talking after you get dead last?
You seen me play before? I talked before. What happened against Revis? What did I do on CBS before that game? Do what?
Talked.
And what happened? I lost, right?
Yep.
I embraced the villain role, win or lose.
So what did you...
So with my... But, listen,
Ojo,
but in you, wait,
you
let me
were
finish.
Cinco.
Let me finish.
You were a Pro Bowler before you had
Let me finish. But what I did do, and what I would do with my daughter is you got to this point by doing one thing. It's working. The track, the rubber, the spikes.
So you teach her something about humility, about getting back to work.
Since, but don't change who you are because you lost a race.
Mm-hmm.
The word humble. I hate when people say using the word humble. All you're trying to do is just dim your mother light that man up there gave you.
Mm.
That's what makes Shakari, Miss Richardson, because I don't know how to say it the right way.
Shakari.
What makes her is what we see. The hair, the nails. Humbling that, it ain't just, that's not her. You lost. Go back to the drawing board. Do it again.
But bro, you talk about that star. Allyson Felix, the female track runner that has the most
decorated
ever.
Right.
She doesn't need to talk shit.
That's her personality.
She doesn't. But no.
That's her.
She She is head and shoulders better than Shakari Richardson because of her successes. Not talking shit, not being...
Why are you comparing the two? We talk about one that is toward the end of their career and one that just started.
And that's the thing is that moving up through the ranks...
You don't have to change who you are to be successful. That's like telling Usain Bolt, hey, you're going to have to shut up and stop being you. Stop... Lightning bolt.
You know what?
That ought to be you.
And that was a lightning bolt when he was coming in ninth place, Chad.
He's lost before. You know that, right?
I know, but he was not getting roasted by everybody at the Prefontaine Classic.
Fucking race.
No. After you got kicked out of the biggest race of your life for marijuana. This was her chance,
Chad. She would have three more Olympics. You know she's only 21.
No, Chad, this is your chance.
Olympics every 4 years, right?
You get suspended. You get suspended for something. I don't know what you got. When you were playing, you got suspended for something. Let's say 4 games. That fifth game, you came back. That's your chance to show them what Chad Ochocinco got. You go out there, have nan catch, nan yard, nan touchdown, get choked out by a okay corner. If you're supposed to be the best, when you come back from that suspension, bro, you about to show out and show the world why they should respect you. That's what everybody, am I wrong, fellas? Did everybody expect at the Prefontaine Classic she was going to come out there and show the world what they missed in the Olympics? What they missed in the Olympics. She did. I don't want to see what I saw in that Classic.
Listen, we had this notion on what we expected to see when she ran the Olympics. Oh, we didn't get the result that we wanted, not knowing what's going on with her, but everybody jump off the bandwagon now. Miss Richardson, continue to be you. Do not change. Go back to the drawing board and do what you do. What's got you to the point you're at now?
You're going to tell her how to handle success?
It's simple.
Because that's a big piece of
it. It's simple.
If you can't handle success, it's like
when you get your race.
No, I'm not punishing. I'm not beating her up on that. Because you lose and you win. But it comes back to how do you handle success when it happens? Is she ready for that? Because we're judging her on the 10-6 or the 10-6 that she ran when dated. And we our expectations were that she was going to go to the Olympics and beat the fastest three Jamaican women that run in the sport since FloJo. That ain't happened. So how do you handle your successes?
Well,
Is she ready for that? That's my question to you. Is she ready? She has to ask herself
I can't answer the question.
She has to be ready for that.
I just know, based on what I've seen and based on what I've seen watching her career from LSU to this point, sometimes life...
Okay,
sometimes life, and then sometimes it can take a dive. It's all about how you react
and
after.
And that's the people that's you right, keep around
right. It's all about
you, right?
how you react after.
That's true, and that's adversity. But much like us, we come into large sums of money when we make it to the NFL, right? We're not all prepared for it. How do we handle it?
Well, but
do we have a strong team around us?
Part of what I want
to
ask
is put us in position so we don't fuck it
you
up.
You keep promoting.
I don't want
you
her to
promoting,
mess it up.
You know, do you?
We continue to be you, right? Because everybody wants everybody to be in the box.
I'll bring it up.
Be quiet. Be humble.
I know Brandon
wants to
talk about
this. Just go do your job. Shut up and play. It's the same book.
Agreed. Agreed, right? She's a great entertainer, right? And so are you. Right? But the thing is that Brandon didn't want to talk about this, but why are we sitting here in, I can't even announce the name of the town.
Ocoee.
Why are we in Ocoee? Why are we here? I mean, that's the question. It's like, why are we here?
But here's what I would say, to sit down with Sha'Carri.
Yeah, right? I don't want to drown out anybody's thoughts on that. But the thing is that a continuation of her being her and her doing her? Are we sitting here, right, because we wanted to come up here and have a conversation with her, right? That's my first question. Are we here because of that? And is this a continuation of her doing her, right? And are we saying the same things as if she were to be here?
So
yes,
would the conversation be the same?
Or maybe what if she's doing exactly what we're telling her to do?
You're a professional. Huh? It's about showing up.
Huh?
At the end of the day,
what if she's doing exactly what she said?
We do everybody
else a
disservice.
What if she's going back to the drawing board and stop talking just to make sure her next race?
You're saying do you? And I feel that we want to keep it 100. We want to keep it 1,000. That's what the platform is, right? You want to be yourself. You want to be authentic. Don't change. But it's okay to follow these rules. You know what I'm saying? Not put you in a box, but follow certain rules to make you more successful. We just trying to make sure she go out and be the best Miss Richardson that she could be. Well, I don't want to take nothing from her. I root the f*** for her, bro. I want her to beat the f*** out of them other countries because I'm American. I don't want her to be the American headache.
But here's what I... Oh.
At the end of the day.
But here's what I would say to that, Fred and Jay, is I think it was smart of her and her team for her not to do this show. And the reason why is because we know a lot of us, it's business and it's personal. And a lot of us, as athletes, it's all personal because the sport that we play, it saves our life. It gets us out of our situation, right? So it's personal, it's not business. So for me personally, it took a long time for me to understand that being in the National Football League was business. It wasn't personal. The way I was wired was, no, this is how I eat. This is how I'm going to get out of the hood. And so there's a way you can be yourself 100%, but you have to learn how to work with the media. So if she's going to embrace the villain, that's fine. If that's the role you're going to play. Only a few have chosen to do that and have succeeded, right? She is 21. She is a baby. So there is a lot to learn. So for me, she is a superstar. She's the sixth fastest woman ever on this planet.
Soon to be first.
Soon to be, potentially. If she does what Fred is talking about, and that is being a pro, showing up, doing those things. But for some, it's a process. For me, it was a process. It took me 5 years to realize, like, hold. I can't go in front of the media and say whatever I want to say.
Now, you can still be yourself, but at the same time, you got to know how to use the media and not let the media use you.
No, that's a really good point. That's a really good point because, you know, one of the things that I started thinking about, you know, coming into this, you know, preparing to speak with her, something that I wanted to kind of, you know, find common ground with her was sitting there saying, like, OK, she came on this high level. Right. We all, or at least myself, I only got to know her through this controversy, right, through this international controversy of missing the Olympics. The thing is that, like, what I would have said to her, and that's what I was trying to imagine if she were here, is that I think it was just, I looked it up, I think it was only me and Fred that got drafted in the first round. And I think me being drafted in the first round and then me breaking my leg the very first game that I played in, right, and then trying to come back 6 weeks later from a broken leg and play and break my foot the first week of practice that I try coming back, taking up a bunch of shots, taking tons of pills, just to practice for Tony Sperano, RIP, right? For Tony Sperano, and because I didn't want to disappoint. You were on the team. Yeah. I didn't want to disappoint you. I didn't want to disappoint my team, correct, right? I didn't want to feel like a bust, but that's exactly what got thrown on me. As soon as I broke my, as soon as I broke that, right, people start looking at you like you're on this athletic downward spiral, like you can't come back up. That's it. And I've seen the looks. I was 21. But that's, but this is what I'm saying, is that, like, I think there needs to be a certain amount of accountability that if we are going to support her. But then at the same time, I do feel, I would say to her that, you know, I feel her pain in a certain type of way, because automatically some of my best friends, some of my family, my own grandfather was like, oh, well, that's your career there, buddy. Coming in at a high level, first round draft pick, coming in at a high level, Olympic athlete or potential Olympic athlete. Right. And then to have that happen, and then the conversation becomes, you know, are you a bust or not? There's a picture of me in the Dolphins locker room when they had all those blue leather couches, mm-hmm, right? There's a picture of me with my leg up on the couch like this with a broken leg. And there's media all around me, right? Asking me, because I was a first round pick that year, right? Asking me, you know, what's going to happen? How do you feel? All this stuff. And I played it off like it was nothing, but I was hurt. I was very hurt. And all I kept thinking is, like, I'm from the same town as Sam Bowie. All right, Sam Bowie, you got drafted before Jordan, who had broken leg after broken leg after broken leg. That's all I could think about. It's like, I don't want to be put in that same category. I don't want my legacy to be this person who's continually automatically a draft bust because I was taken in the first round. It felt, what I kept saying, and even in hindsight of my own career, what I kept thinking about was, like, man, first round draft picks really have so much more room to fall than they had to actually ascend, because you're coming in at a high level.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with Sha'Carri, Miss Richardson, right? I think it's the same thing with Miss Richardson, is that there's so much more room for error because of the way that she entered the public eye. And that's one thing that I was writing about before this, that I couldn't even imagine coming in on an international level. It was just Miami that knew me, right? I wasn't even so, I was a 3-4 defensive end. I was asked to 2-gap, right? So nobody even knows what the hell that is.
Right.
So the thing is, I can't even imagine.
But here's the thing, though.
That's what I'm saying. I hated it.
He wasn't good at 2-gap.
No. I played behind him. He wasn't that good at 2-gapping.
My first year was not good, because I had never done it.
Let me say this, because we're talking about, we're in a tough spot here. Because we don't want to be like the traditional outlets and networks, right? We want this to be a safe place for our athletes. But at the same time, this is locker room talk. In the locker room, there's a lot of accountability. And I will say this, and you guys know this to be true. Accountability is what gets you there.
Correct.
Right? And sometimes it's private, and sometimes it's public. Like, for all of us, we've been in the locker room, been in situations where it was that OG that came to you, pulled you to the side, or even on the field, pulled you to the corner and was like, yo, you know, you could probably do it a little bit differently.
That's what he did to me. You remember the day you did that?
Yeah.
That was the same day. It was all in the same thought. It was the same. I mean, right around the same time, my rookie year, it was all the same thing. We were doing screen drill, right? Mm-hmm. In a screen drill, what do? When it's a screen drill,
you got to run.
You got to run, but you let him throw the screen for the sake of the drill. You let it go, right? But what did Chad Henne do? He threw it right in my head. Right. So I'm not going to bat the pass down. I caught it and I started running with it. Right. And that's when Sperano started yelling at me, God, Dodrick, what the hell, are you stupid? Right. I start yelling back. As soon as I started yelling back, man, what the f-? He threw it. He grabs me. What is wrong with you? Shut up. Do your job. Mm. Now, the thing is, we're on the same team, and I think that's a big difference between team sports and individual, right? Is that you cannot show up to an interview like this or an engagement like this because she's on her own. She's on an island. She doesn't necessarily have a team that she has to be accountable to. And there's nobody there. There's no wins and losses right. that she has to take with other men or women, right? It's all her. It's a time, and that's it. So I think there could be a potential lack of accountability with them.
I was going to say, because all y'all brought up this whole thing about support.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Supporter. Allison Felix said that. Support her. She said give her a hug, pull her in. Support is one thing, but there has to be criticism with support. Because if somebody needs support, they need to be addressed on some issues.
See, and that's my point.
If you think
point.
About it, you know what I'm saying? If somebody has everything in their life going the right direction, everything in their career going the right direction, they don't need support. They're fine. So support should come with criticism, and that's the thing that I think Sha'Carri and a bunch of, and we're going to get to Naomi and Simone here in a second. But if you want to support somebody, there needs to be criticism.
Exactly. And in that support, when you supported me, you gripped me up on the side of the fence.
But that
was his support. He gripped me up.
Yeah.
And so that was a thing. And I took that as a sign of love. But maybe that's because it's a totally different culture. But I saw him right. do that. And I remember it vividly. Right. He gripped me up on the fence. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Listen, but that was love.
It comes back. I'll say this as I'm talking to her, right? We got to talk about mental preparedness, mental focus, accountability, as you said, and a sense of urgency. She's 21. Chad says she has 3 more opportunities, and they're going to come like this. You know how fast time fly, man.
Yeah.
She'll be 34, 35 on her last Olympics before you know it. Are you going to waste time? You're going to make excuses? Like, what are you going to do, right? So we have to give her a message that at some point, something has to click. Something has to change. I always played and performed like I was going to fail the fuck up. I scared the shit out of myself in order to get the best out of myself. And sometimes you got to do that. Is she afraid or is she cocky? You feel me? Like, what side is she on? You can be like confident, but you can't have an attitude that I got this in the bag every time.
She's confident.
You can be confident, but you also got to fear failing. You have to.
I
that'll get you out your seat.
I think she's fearless.
I think she's fearless.
That's a problem.
She's but here's fearless. The thing. Here's she's the thing.
Fearless. That's a problem.
You don't think she's fearless?
For me, that's
she can't
a problem.
Be fearless because she responds to IG posts of nobody.
That's the thing.
That's maturity. That, no, there's a difference between fearless and maturity.
That's an insecurity.
No, it's not. It's
for you to respond. And I noticed somebody said I could have beat Sha'Carri in that race, and she said I would triple your annual pay if you could beat me in a race. That's insecurity.
Chance, that's just firing back.
Why are you going to fire back at a 12-year-old girl living in Ocoee?
Chan, you've been playing football all your life. You went to UF, biggest stage, the Swamp, your Gator Bait, all of that. Been there. Y'all play in front of crowds bigger than most NFL teams.
90,000,
then you go to the Miami
maybe?
Dolphins, right? And you play there. So you mean to tell me you were perfect?
No. Not perfect, but...
How you responded
there's
to
no
criticism.
But, there's no but after
yeah, ain't no but. Ain't no but. Ain't no but.
You know, are you perfect?
You know, no, nobody's
okay,
perfect.
There we go.
Nobody's
me
perfect.
Neither.
Tom Brady's the GOAT. He throws interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, the leader of everything and the best running back of all time fumbles.
Yeah.
But for Sha'Carri, and I take it, when you respond, and I do it with Kevin Durant as well, when Kevin Durant has a ghost Instagram to respond to people, that is a mental insecurity.
Yeah,
that's a mental insecurity that you have to respond to nobodies. And I'm not calling people nobodies, but if you're Kevin
but
Durant,
guess what Kevin
you're
Durant
Sha'Carri
did.
Richardson, what the f*** does it matter what somebody down the street living in their mother's basement thinks
that's
about you?
That's called fan engagement.
That's insecurity.
That's
no,
called fan
Chance,
engagement.
You know what? And I'll give you this, Chance.
It's called fan engagement.
You do fan engagement because I've seen you pull up and play FIFA at a fan's house.
Yeah.
That's fan.
I f*** them up.
And you f*** them up.
Yeah.
Have you ever told somebody that you'll triple their annual salary if they can catch more balls than you out of
be
the
honest.
Jug machine?
Listen, there,
you will not do
more
that
than
because
one way
that
to shows skin a cat. That is,
insecurity.
That's her way of lashing
what?
Back out. You know,
of
it's
la-
like
why do you
it's
need
like,
to
it's
lash
like,
out?
It's like telling jokes. If we sitting here ribbing, does it mean I'm insecure because I'm ribbing? No.
If I'm sitting here ripping with four guys that played in the NFL for a number of years, that's just having a good time.
We can't define.
If I am on Instagram or Twitter responding to a dog emoji, that's insecurity.
I made that insecurity. Hey, listen.
Why do we always jump off the bandwagon as soon as something go right with somebody?
No, I don't think
when it goes right. When it goes right, you get attention.
Everybody, we love Sha'Carri. She's winning. And the minute she loses, everybody got the motherfucking answers.
Right.
Why not continue to have that same support? We got you, sis. Get back to the drawing board. Do what you need to do. The same way you've been doing it outside of this one.
No.
Motherfucking race. One.
Not one race.
One.
We expected to see her in the Olympics.
Well, here's the deal.
That's what built it up, Chad.
So we holding every...
That's what built up the anticipation of the Pre-Fontaine Classic was her being kicked out of the Olympics.
No, what built it up is the fact that she's been winning for a very long time. She's been winning for a very, very long time. Way back.
Why didn't I know her name 5 years ago?
Huh? Because you're not into track, obviously.
5 years ago? What you talking about? She was 16.
I'm just saying, why didn't I know her name
16.
Why didn't the
you should have. She won a national championship. That's when she became the sixth fastest woman.
Why didn't
when
the
she
world,
was 19?
Why didn't the world know her name 2 years ago?
Because they know Shelly Ann Fraser.
The world did not know her name.
Let me say this.
But the track world is small.
Let me say
it's
this.
It's not small.
You like you got something. You like you got something you want to get off your chest.
Whoa.
Yeah, because like you over there, you're the new guy.
Don't let me over here. Don't let
like,
me
come on, like, go ahead, get it off your chest, bro.
Well, it's just, I think it's because you can sell that better. You can sell the controversy better. Mm. If she's just winning and just winning, if she's a winner, like, that's a question I wanted to ask her. Do you want to be a winner or do you want to be a superstar? Mm. Right? Mm. You want to be a winner or you want to be a superstar? Does it matter even if you win? Because it seems like with the nails, the hair, all of it, I love it. I love the expression, right?
Oh,
it's artistic expression. We're looking at it. It's beautiful. But would you rather be a winner? If you had to change some of the things that you're doing in order to win, would you do that?
All she got to do is what you said. It's about how you train. It's the work. There are some people, like you said, we said Deion Sanders, we said Flo Jo. I talked about Richard Sherman. I talked about Jalen Ramsey. There's some people that are flashy and they're loud and they still win. And then there's some people that they don't get it done. I think it's like who are you? Be yourself.
Right.
But you got to understand what comes with that. If you go out there and you say, you know, oh, y'all going to
you know, I'm going to smoke y'all, whatever she said, and you come in last, then you know what? You go in the locker room, you go in and you cry, you look in the mirror, like, damn. And then you put your face back on, you get back to work.
Well, this is the thing, right? So y'all play AAU ball, AAU basketball?
I did.
You did?
I was selling dope.
So you brought up Kevin Durant.
He grew up playing soccer.
So you brought up Kevin Durant, right? When I was 17, I played on the AAU basketball team. I played on an AAU basketball team, and we went out to Vegas, right? We went out to Vegas to play. We got to the semifinals. You know who we met in the semifinals? Ty Lawson and Kevin Durant. They were on the same team, okay? We had a guy that talked. Right, was talking the whole tournament, named Rich. He was a 6'7" wing, right? Played at Milton Hershey High, right? We get out to center court for tip-off, right? We're dapping the other team up, dapping the other team up. First thing he does, he walks up to KD and he goes, you ain't get today.
Yeah, I like it. That's what I'm talking about. I like this dude. What's his name?
Exactly.
Exactly. No, that's how
KD lit us up for 30 points.
That's how he's supposed to do.
He said, no, he said to us, and KD said, he laughed at him. He went, you hear this guy? And he goes like this to him. He goes, all dunks. The first half, all dunks, 30 points. Okay? Then we come out for the second half. They almost called the mercy rule because it was the 30-point mercy rule. We were down by 28 at half. We come back. He comes out. He goes, all threes. All threes the second half, right? They beat us by 40 fucking points, okay? You don't know who Rich is. We got to win. You got to win to know the guy that's being him. He's being him, but he smacked the shit out of us.
So let me say this. Let me say this, though. So it was good.
But
it was good. Hold on,
even if Rich never said anything, y'all would have got beat by 40. So either way.
But here's the thing, though. But here's the thing. You talk about winning. You know, and we're looking at her now. And it's like, okay, which way is her career going to go? You know, you go to the first race right after the Olympic, and then now you go to Europe, and that's the outing. So, you know, she got a lot of work to do, but it doesn't take away from her being the sixth fastest woman on the planet. You know what I mean?
Or one of the greatest women to ever run.
She reminds me of Dez Bryant. Remember the stories like Dez Bryant's upbringing? You know, Dez Bryant entered the NFL like most of us, with a lot of red flags, and there was a lot of controversy. And now Dez Bryant, to me, is lightweight a culture icon, you know? So I look at her pain. I look at what she's been through. So I put her in the box, Jared, as someone who started running because it was an outlet for her, you know, and it was about survival. And then she ended up falling in love with it. But at the end of the day, as an athlete, when you talk about what's more important, it's like her, to me, her mindset, all of them, even in practice, I bet she beats herself up in practice if she don't have a great practice. She cries if she doesn't have a great practice. Like we all, I think most of us been there. You know, it's like lose, practice, you know, game time, lights are on. It's all the same.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, Freaky Fred.
Yeah. So right now we're just.
Are you Freaky Fred in season three?
Yeah, of course.
What are you doing with OnlyFans? So is OnlyFans that, going to do, like, are you? What's going on with OnlyFans?
It's suspended right now.
Okay, go back to
you. Wait, you had an OnlyFans? Since,
huh?
You had an OnlyFans?
You should know that anyway, bro.
Bro, Fred,
what
with
is
it,
going
with
on?
It.
Relax.
Fred, with it.
Nah, I never had an OnlyFans.
Goats and animals, all chill kind out. Of hey, listen, nasty.
But no, seriously, though, we're basically five big brothers, and we all have our different opinions, right? And I think that really is us trying to reach out to her so she can take bits and pieces of what she think might help her succeed. She's going to do what she wants to do anyway,
right,
at the very end of the day. But because we all have experience and what we've done on this show with season one and season two, we always say, all right, this is our way of giving back. Right. She has to take bits and pieces that she feels necessary to make her better.
Right.
We're not lying to her. What I said, what Chan said, what Jared, Chad, yourself said, we're just trying to voice our own opinions, hopefully that, because we want her to succeed.
Right.
We're not bashing or beating her up. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. But she has to understand she has resources. So what we're saying is, Miss Richardson, you know, if she's listening or whoever's around her or anybody else, you have to put yourself in the mindset of other successful people. Because it comes back to mindset. at the end of the day, what's your mental like, Naomi, Simone? What's your mental like?
Can I ask you a question? Just real quick.
For sure.
Those five names, four or five names you called, the Ali, the Jordans, the Kobes, were they always perfect?
I didn't say
that. Answer the question.
Listen.
Were they always perfect? Did they lose before?
Listen, they weren't always perfect, but
did they
we know
before?
What the end result is. We know what they are in the history of sport and what we do. I was never perfect. You were never perfect. None of us were.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is we're trying to engage a young lady who we've seen can go hard left or can get their shit on track. Mm. She's in an okay position because she's young. That's the beauty about it. But because what our messages bring to her, she has so much trying to get it together, but it falls back in her lap. What's she going to do with it?
Right.
So I've been having a hard time thinking about this, and I've been trying to figure out the right form to bring it up, but I mean, we're sitting here talking about, right? We're talking about Sha'Carri. We're talking about individual performance. Fred brings up a lot of great points. We all brought up a lot of great points about what it takes to do individual performance. But we're not talking about the structures, right? We're not talking about the Olympics itself. How legitimate can the Olympics be? And can we question its legitimacy if Sha'Carri Richardson gets excluded from Olympics and competing in the Olympics, right, for using cannabis, marijuana, right? In a therapeutic use, right? Wasn't so much performance enhancing. That's a whole conversation in terms of it being performance enhancing or not. But how can we take the Olympics seriously and their rules if within the same Olympic Games, there was a born male who competed in weightlifting, who's taking estrogen in order to go play or to compete in weightlifting? Laurel Hubbard. So my question is to the Olympics, right? It's like, well, how do we take the Olympics serious when they're punishing an Olympic athlete like Sha'Carri for using cannabis, but then almost promoting somebody else to use estrogen, right? Something that manipulates hormones, which is definitely performance enhancing or performance changing. I'm not sure how much estrogen helps you lift weights, but at the same time, that's the same moral compass that they're using. It's confusing to me.
I did not know a lot about Laurel Hubbard.
I didn't know.
Would say this. I would say it's ridiculous for a born man to compete against women in weightlifting. But on the other side of that, I think it's ridiculous for any league to suspend people for marijuana is dumb. It's dumb.
But think about
because,
what you just said.
Alcohol sits in barrels for months, fermentating fruits and potatoes and orange peels. And you put it in your body, it does nothing for you but get you drunk. Marijuana has CBD that is proven, and they started studying it. Once they legalize it in certain states, they can study marijuana and they can pull out the medicinal side. And that's why it become a medicine. That's why people have marijuana cards, because the CBD side of marijuana does help people, helps you relax. And I know dudes that drink. I know dudes that smoke. I'll say it. I smoked my entire career. My entire career in the league, I smoked in Florida. I smoked in high school.
But here's the challenge,
but
though.
Dudes that I know that drink, B, that's the dudes getting DUIs. That's the dudes hitting their wife. That's the dudes doing.
Right.
Bro, alcohol is 7,000 times worse than marijuana, but leagues have no problem with liquor. Leagues have alcohol. IOC, NFL, MLB, La Liga, they have liquor at functions.
Right.
But they shun marijuana. Oh,
it's different
marijuana.
Now, right.
Why?
The leagues are being more lenient on alcohol and marijuana. But here's the challenge. You're talking about leagues. We're talking about the United States. Right. IOC, you say international. Right. So the problem is Sha'Carri, right? Everybody, oh, she should be running. She should run. Let her go. Let's petition this thing. But you have to petition all countries. Because there's, in the United States, we're more lenient. In other countries, it's still criminal. We're letting people out in America that have these type of charges. That is the challenge. When it comes to the Olympics, is that it's like it's not just the United States. It's how do you get all countries on, you know, a part of this and at the table and saying that this is, come on, everything that you just said,
That's the challenge that you have with the IOC.
Because if you look at China, there's a guy from Russia that got caught in China with some drugs. And they're considering putting him
drugs are weed.
No.
Drugs are weed. That's marijuana, what I need to know.
Weed.
Weed's not weed. Drugs.
Listen, but it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Because China doesn't mess around. They're considering putting him on, giving him the death penalty. And this just happened, right?
For weed?
Listen, man, what Brandon said, it's all international. This is America. We have our own set of rules and guidelines. And when you get outside of this box, everything changes. And the rules are the rules. They have their own set of rules that you have to abide by.
But if rules are rules, do they not apply to male and female?
Like they should. I'm with you.
Because I can appreciate rules.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm with you on that.
What do you mean?
I can appreciate rules. I understand. Like, she violated a rule. And that's why, like... There was a teammate of mine in Jacksonville that we both celebrated the day that we knew that we were getting tested April 20th, right? Or for the first 2 weeks of training camp, you get tested, right? And you know that those are when me and this other teammate, we made a video that we were thinking about putting online about celebrating that our test date came in April. So that means we could smoke early. The whole summer. So we could go home or we could go take a trip somewhere and spark up. Right. So the thing is that I respect rules and I obviously abided by them just like him. I smoked throughout a majority of my career. But the thing is that how do you respect the rules? Right. When they're being bent in such a way in so many other places. So that's my question. And maybe we can't answer that.
Well, and look, the challenge, like I said, is the United States conversation is totally different than the conversations being had in China and other places. Right. But here's what I want to say to you, J.O., so you've been working on this dynamic documentary covering all this stuff, and I don't want to give too much up, but what role did marijuana play in your life, and how did you get there?
Well, first it was socially, to find friends, right? And that was in high school, and I think it was an ignorant way of getting into it. And I think that's the way a lot of people get into it, right, is, you know, you find these social groups that you want to be a part of, whether it's the cool kids or the kids that are on the team or the kids that are, you know, getting with the good-looking girls at school that are smoking, you want to get with them, right? But I eliminated it from my life in high school because I knew that I was going to get tested. You know, if once I started taking football seriously in high school, where it was like coaches were visiting me, and I could test positive. I don't want to ruin this. I got to get out of here. So then I reincorporated in my life my second year with the Dolphins because I saw myself in my first 2 years having the same weekend over and over and over again, just getting hammered, right? Going down to South Beach, right? Going out on Las Olas. And I was just like, I can't do this. I can't keep up. There's no way I'm going to be able to keep up with this, right? Because there were so many people coming down to visit from Pennsylvania or from wherever else that I was coming from. And every weekend was like a birthday bash just because they haven't been down here, right? And the phrase YOLO was kind of hot at the time, the
restaurant,
right?
YOLO.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So I brought it back into my life as a source of change because I knew I needed to get out of that pattern. I was in a pattern I didn't want to be in anymore. I felt like a robot. I'm like, I can't do this. Right. Cannabis came back into my life because I wanted to have different types of conversations. And I saw the people that smoked and that were advocates for cannabis were able to have those types of conversations.
It's so interesting hearing you talk about your story and being with the Dolphins, my second year with the Dolphins. This whole Ocho versus Science thing, that's when I really started taking it serious when we were playing with Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams. Yeah. And I saw how they were taking care of themselves and they were doing this food sensitivity, you know, test. So I was like, let me start taking care of my body that same way. So I started working with the same gurus they were working with just on a nutrition side. And I was drinking as well. Like, obviously, this was at the height of my career, prime of my career. But also, this is when I was, you know, a little bit like, you know, Sha'Carri Richardson. And everybody's story is different. But I mean, like, I wasn't the pro that I needed to be at the time. So I started drinking. And I was drinking Hennessy. And the only thing I thought about was, like, I'm ruining my body. And I got to get up and perform the next day. So that was the first time I tried marijuana. So for an entire year, I started smoking, right? And that was the first time I felt normal in a long time when I started to smoke. And that was the first time I was able to look at my wife and say, baby, you're beautiful. I love you. I couldn't say those things. Like, literally, I couldn't say those things. And when I smoked, I felt normal again. I felt like I was connecting with emotions. Fast forward 8 months later, I went to Ricky Williams. Like, Ricky, you know, do you think I'm
you know, something's wrong, because the Run Ricky Run documentary came out the year before, and I saw what he was dealing with. He's like, no, Brandon, I don't think you're, you know, bipolar or borderline or dealing with depression or anything. I just think you say all the things that we want to say but shouldn't say and don't say. And I went and sat down with the same doctor that Ricky sat with, and that's when I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And I also gave my life to Christ, and I stopped smoking, you know, during that time, and I was able to find other ways. But that was the first time when I was playing for the Dolphins, and it started off a performance, not wanting to ruin my body, and it helped me.
Yeah, I felt like it was a transition.
Yeah. Right?
It helped me transition, and that you don't need to keep it. But speaking of the word transition, I think I'm supposed to get out of here.
No, I mean, it's a good conversation. We got Chef coming out. Chef, you came in at the right time.
Yeah.
Hello. I think.
Hello.
Fucking
extra
go.
Extra planting.
Yes, for me.
There you go.
Thank you.
Chef.
Yes.
What's the green stuff?
It's cabbage.
It's marijuana.
It's cabbage?
Yeah, a little bit of cabbage.
Okay.
You know, we got brown stew chicken.
And marijuana and everything now. Thanks, Chef.
You got all veggies.
I'm allowed to record this chicken.
All veggies, see?
Brown stew chicken, yes. Rice and peas.
Oh, no? Okay. Chef, welcome back.
Hi.
Season 3, how you feeling?
I'm good. Missed you guys.
Mm-hmm. We missed you, too.
Welcome, Chef.
Thank you.
Praise God.
So, Chef, we talked about so much, and we had so many things we wanted to hit on in this first episode. We just didn't have enough time to get there. But I want to take you back to Sha'Carri Richardson. You know, there's so much to her story, so much to her. I guess the question I have for you, just to get your perspective on it, is like, if you were her sister, you know, what type of conversations would you be having with her? What would you be telling her?
To remain courageous and confident at all times, that the world is watching you. And she's an inspiration to all little brown girls around the world, that we don't really have much to look up to, you know? So she just has to know that the world is watching and that she's inspiring someone. So whether it's good or bad, you want to lean towards the good,
right?
You know? But of course, everything is environmental. So depending upon how she grew up in her environment, you only know what you were taught,
right,
or lack thereof.
Right, right. And that's kind of my stance, too, is a lot of times, and this is one of the reasons why I didn't feel comfortable moving forward with the FS1 show, is how we talked about the athlete. Because you have to have, like, when you watch, like, ESPN or FS1, you have to have these takes. And your career is built off of these takes. And if I go out there and I have a hard stance on Sha'Carri, I got to make sure that is true, right? Mm-hmm. And my career is built off of that if I'm right. And so no matter what, I could be wrong, but I'm going to continue to do everything I can to make prop this up and make it to be true so my career thrives. What we don't do enough on those networks, on those shows, is actually peel back the layers and say, like, she's 21. Look where she comes from.
And she needs...
Like, you don't have time to have those conversations. You don't have time. You have 3 minutes. You talking sound bites. In 3 minutes, I got to look at that person across from me or virtually and say, nah, there's more to this story, you know? So I'm sorry. I'm getting kind of like passionate about emotional.
Because, because you've been there.
Right.
And you would rather uplift her than tear her down.
Right.
But what does that say about the world? That the ratings are bigger than uplifting another.
But we're not the world.
The world, humans in general are very fickle. They love you. They love you when you're up. That's in general, in everything.
They hail you.
We all have people that have been a part of our life when things were going well. Oh, they clapping. Oh, they love you. As soon as something go wrong, what happens?
It's a saying that we say hail you and nail you at the same time.
Hey.
Mm. But
hold on. Say that again.
Hail you and nail you.
Ooh.
They'll hail you and nail you.
Right.
So they'll hail you and nail you at the same time. But to go back to what you said, the show is called I Am Athlete. How can you not relate?
Right.
Because you've been there.
Right.
So do you want someone to do what was done to you, or do you want to show a better perspective or different outlook? She needs someone to hold her accountable. She needs someone to, as an example, or someone to hold her close and help her navigate through.
That's true.
I don't want her to be Adrian Broner. That's all I'm
absolutely
gonna say.
I get what you're saying.
At the end of the day, I want her to go above and beyond, recognize what the pitfalls might look like. That's what this message is. Circumvent that and go forward. I want her to go and be the best. I'm rooting for her. Broner didn't show up for us in season two.
This conversation, you just said it, Chad. Dale, what'd you say? Hail you and nail you.
That's the
hail
thing.
Hail you and nail you.
Who talking about him now?
They'll hail you.
Who talking about him now? Who talking about him now?
Adrian Broner started getting nailed when he doesn't have success. Athletes are based off of successes, failures, wins, and losses.
That's all that matters.
And that's all you are. Chad, I would tell you, and I told you before, you exceeded that. You took yourself, marketing genius, to exceed just catches, touchdowns, wins, losses.
I was behind Ocho the whole time. It's been me. Tell him I've been your marketing agent.
Look at that guy, turtleneck you have on with buttons on it. Who has a loose turtleneck? Get out of here. Ocho.
let me.
Loosen up.
Yeah, let me loosen up.
Don't change it. Leave that type on.
Show him that it's
me. Yeah, right.
Show him you can do without you can do. Show what you can do with it.
What's up?
But bro, 99.9% of athletes are based off of their
performance.
On field.
What have you done for me lately? Y'all know the rules.
The reason they know you and you is because you catch balls and score touchdowns. You run the ball, you score touchdowns. I tackled people every now and again. Chef Nancy, your damn food is off the chain.
The reason
they know us is because of what we're good at. And that's where you are praised or nailed off of.
Okay.
And that's the thing that athletes, and I'll tell y'all, I understand why people know me. If you don't understand that, Sha'Carri, Naomi, Simone,
but
flipping,
here's the problem, though,
or running,
Chance.
Or hitting the ball,
all right, so
that's why you're famous is what you do in your sport.
So let's hit on real quick on Naomi Osaka, what she's going through, right? Where she's literally saying, I am uncomfortable. It is not good for my mental health during these tournaments, during these matches, to also address the media, right? And so, like, there's two conversations going on. Because as an athlete, right, especially the era we grew up in, do your job. Go out there. Yes. And no, this is part of it. The media is why we make so much money, mm-hmm. right? So we're put on this platform and on this pedestal to say, like, you are a Greek god. You know, you have these superpowers. But at the end of the day, I am human.
Right.
Right? And I feel like the conversation is shifting around the athlete, because what we're saying, that's how we grew up. But now, bro, like, athletes are now showing that, no, I do have, you know what I mean? I'm just like you. I feel the same way you feel. So when you think about Naomi Osaka, when she's dealing with, I feel like she is now pushing the conversation forward to where now we're going to start talking about the athletes and treating the athletes differently.
Her mental toughness is what they question. Yep. But recently she came back and she said, you know what? I get it. I understand. I like the media, but I think the media should be less subject, more subjective, and less objective, and more peer to peer, so we can deal with what's going on in this space. So she wants to change the conversation, so she can be willing to sit there and not be bashed and beat up. So I think there's a difference than when you have other people that just say, you know what, I'm just gonna quit and not deal with it.
It broke my heart seeing her come back and a reporter ask her, well, you're okay on Twitter, you're okay on Instagram engaging with fans, and you are okay using the media. Basically, you said you're okay using the media when it's good for you, but when you're at these matches, you don't want to talk. And she breaks down, she cries, and they had to stop it. That broke my heart, man. You know what I'm saying? I feel like not only in tennis, but all sports need to look at how we approach the athletes and media. It's personal. It's not business for a lot of these athletes. So at their lowest moments, whether it's Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, you know, or it's Naomi, you're asking them to sit up and talk professional and to be diplomatic and say the right things, because you have all these sponsors, partners, and these networks. Like, we're banking on you to make sure that you say the right things. We have to change the way we approach the athlete. We have to.
B.
I don't know.
No, B.
Because you have media outlets that are paid to be assholes, much like in your local city.
But it's on the teams. It's on the net. It's on the leagues. It's on these institutions to protect the athletes because they are human.
I don't know, but because who's paying the bills?
But
the TV deals and the media.
What comes first? The business.
Who drives the sport more so?
The business.
Than the other, yeah, of course.
The business.
Okay, go ahead. The
person. You understand. Who's putting money in your pocket?
At any level, if Naomi Osaka never hits another tennis ball, if anybody in the NFL, Saquon Barkley, whoever's name, NBA, KD, LeBron, whoever, if they never bounce a basketball again, the NBA, the NFL, tennis is going to be okay. The business is the biggest thing.
Let me ask you. All right,
it is. No. It is the biggest thing. They want you to do your damn job. Nike, Reebok, these people are not paying Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles and these girls or these athletes and these other guys that other men as well have done it. Men, women, I don't give a damn who you are. You have a sponsorship because they want to see you doing your job in their brand so that they can expand their brand and make money. The business is where they have to understand. If I'm having a rough day, go do your job. The fireman, the policeman, the lawyer, the surgeon, anybody that's the chef that's having a bad day has to go do their job.
Let me ask you this.
Don't ask him, Matt. I got one for you. That's even better.
If you leave that profession, that profession is not going to change. You are a small cog in the big picture of whatever your profession is.
J.O. was sitting here earlier, asked Ocho, Pepe, said, your daughter runs track. What would you tell your daughter in this situation after that meet, right? He said, let's get back to the rubber, put the cleats on, let's get back to work, but be yourself. Your daughter, okay, Asia.
Ava. You mess them up all the time. We understand.
Your daughter, Ava, plays tennis. Mm-hmm. Okay? She's in that same situation as Naomi. She's in front of the world, Wimbledon. Okay? French Open, whatever, U.S. Open. And she breaks down. And they're asking her those tough questions. What do you do? What do you say to your daughter right there?
I would honestly, if she was to start on the path, if Ava starts on the path of Naomi Osaka, and when she gets to a level that she has to deal with the media, I'm gonna tell her, like I tell J.O. and I tell everybody, they're not your friend. Have a set answer and stick to your narrative. And that's what I did when I was in the league. No matter what they ask you in a press conference when you're in the league, you can swing the narrative your way. Hey, why did y'all give up 56 points? Oh, see, our defense, we just transitioned from a 3-4 to
a 4-3. Okay, but let me throw something else in there.
I'm going to prepare my daughter. To answer your question, B, I'm going to prepare my daughter for the media and let her know the media is full of They're not your friends. They're trying to get a sound bite. So give them the sound bite you want to give
them. But then you have Naomi Osaka who says, I live with social anxiety. Some people deal with things that we just don't understand. So you got Naomi Osaka who is saying, I live with social anxiety. This makes me uncomfortable. That is a thing. People go to treatment for that. They talk to people, especially to learn how to cope and manage and live with. So that's what I'm talking about. What about those?
But I have a question for you because you play both sides. So when Brandon Marshall, the entrepreneur, the person that understands entrepreneurship because you've read 68 books, right?
73.
73. Fuck it.
Business imprints.
Right. And I'm dead serious, bro, because I love your mindset, right? And what your visions are. So there's going to come a time when you have to say, I got to dress this up and package it so I can sell it. Mm-hmm. Like, who do I really care about? Because at some point, you got to be like, fuck, I got to look out for this or I got to look out for that. Yeah. And that's what's happening in the sports. Media don't really give a fuck about what your problems are. Mm-hmm. They have one objective. They got to make money and pay bills. What side are you going to be on when it comes to that?
I think we already made that decision, and that's one of the reasons why we've already had Cam Newton. That's why we've had Dwayne Wade come here, because the way we hold each other, it goes back to accountability. Linear television, the way we talk about the athlete or the way we talk about people, there's an agenda behind it. We're just sitting here having locker room talk. This is the stuff that we talk about all the time.
So for me, it's always giving whoever sits in that seat, the space, the time they need to tell their story. You understand? And then also giving us the opportunity to hold them accountable the way we would offline, right. You know? And I think that's what makes our show special. And that's why I'm ready for season 3 to continue to go.
Whoa, we need to get to the NFL.
Go ahead. NFL. You want to talk about NFL?
What you got?
Shan, I feel sad. We've been on a sad topic the whole time. I'm about to tear up.
All right, let's go.
Chef, favorite NFL team this upcoming season?
Here we go.
Favorite team?
Okay, the New York Giants.
New York Giants. Favorite player you look forward to watching this year outside of the Giants?
Lavonte David.
Mr. Crowder.
Team,
I'm sure you're a Dolphin fan, right, at heart?
I know I'm a Buccaneers fan at heart. That's why I grew up in Tampa.
Okay, you grew up in Tampa.
Yeah.
Favorite player you look forward to watching this season and who has the most approval?
You can't ask me favorite player
You have a favorite player?
No, I don't really. I just love good defensive play. I hate offense because y'all motherfuckers are prima donnas and soft and y'all run lines and we react to shit.
So favorite defensive player?
So my favorite defensive player.
You look forward to watching this season?
But I think everybody's favorite defensive player is Aaron Donald.
Mm. Everybody like who?
Everyone that watches defense in the league and not prima donna ass.
I mean, my favorite defensive player in the NFL right now, Jair Alexander. And
he can play.
My brother Ramsey.
Your brother Jalen's a dog. Yeah. Jalen's a dog. I would say Xavier Howard had 8 more interceptions than him last year. Jalen had 2 picks and Xavier had 10. So for you to say Jalen is something else. If you want me to go linebackers, I got to go Lavonte, Darius Leonard, Eric Kendricks, Fred Warner, and Bobby Wagner. Okay. I got to go. Those are the dudes I know going to go out there and knock somebody down helmet off every year.
Who you got over there, Freaky Fred? You over there eating? You ain't Man. Jacksonville terrible. Yeah, he over there. He ain't got nothing to say.
Urban Meyer.
We're going to be better than every team you've been on ever.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Better than the Dolphins?
Who?
The Dolphins.
Oh, the little fish?
Little fish.
Come on, man.
This is what I'm going to say, Fred. Adrian Broner. He lives in Western Florida.
Don't work on his name. He done.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I'm going to hurt him like that. No more.
Huh?
He done. He'll be back. He'll be back in the ring.
You always believe in people. I wish you was my daddy. Mm-hmm. You always believe in people.
I believe in
you. You don't believe in me.
I do believe you.
You got to lock up with Randy Crowder, though, and that nigga's big.
Who's Randy?
My daddy, my real daddy. If you want to be my daddy, you got to fight my real daddy.
Nah, knock your daddy out.
That blind.
You ain't see him in his fight, his debut.
Yeah, and I know what Randy going to do. Booty in the air.
Wasn't none of that.
We had to fight to get a meal, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, you gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wheel wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.